Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. The words of God which we'll consider this evening are from Luke chapter 23, these words. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." Soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Fellow believers, friends in Jesus, our Savior, who loves us all dearly. Every mocker on that evening said the same thing. They all spoke the same words. They all agreed. He saved others. He has saved many, many others through this very busy and relatively short ministry of just a few years. There were people who remembered him raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, friends, relatives. There were those who remembered in the little town of Nain up in north in Galilee. They remembered. They were there. They saw that man who was dead. There were lots of friends that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had in Jerusalem and Bethany and that whole region. They knew Lazarus had died. They went to his funeral. There were those in Capernaum, perhaps the whole town, who knew the man who died. But Jesus saved them all from death. All those people knew he had saved them from death. They lived again. They saw them. And life went on with them. There were many people whom Jesus healed marvelously and miraculously. There was the man in Capernaum whose four good friends were so determined to bring him to Jesus that they literally broke a hole in the roof and let him down in front of Jesus and heard the Lord Jesus say to him, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And then he told the man, "Now pick up your bed and walk." There were those who were there when the man in Jerusalem who had been an invalid for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda, they were there when they saw that man walk again because Jesus freed him. And healed him, saved him from his life living as an invalid. There was blind Bartimaeus of Jericho. There was a whole group of people. You remember this? Great crowds of people brought to Jesus, blind, crippled, mute, many others. They laid him at Jesus' feet. You know how many people that was? There was a group of 4,000 men, plus the women who were there, plus the children who were there, bringing many, many people to Jesus, and he healed every one of them. And then after those 4,000 men plus children spent 3 days following Jesus and literally used up all of their food, they knew, they all knew, those thousands of people knew there was no food left and no place to get it. They knew Jesus had saved them from hunger. There was another time, 5,000. Jesus saved those people. You remember how many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus? All over the region. All over the region. People knew. Across the Jordan River in Gadara, and across the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Gerasenes. Remember the man whom we told was possessed by a legion of demons? You remember that story? Jesus sent the demons away, and they entered, remember, a herd of pigs, and the whole herd of pigs ran off a cliff into the water and drowned. The whole region knew that happened, and they knew who made it happen. Jesus told the man who was healed, who was freed, saved from demon possession, he said, "Now you go and tell everyone that the Lord has done for you." And you know Jesus' message. His preaching was consistent. Consistent. You could talk to someone who had heard him preach way up north on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea by Tyre and Sidon. You could talk to somebody who was at Capernaum at the mouth of the Jordan River. You could talk to someone who was from Samaria and say, "What did you hear Jesus say?" You could talk to people anywhere in that whole region over throughout his ministry, and his message was the same. The kingdom of heaven has come near. God has brought the kingdom of God near. Repent. Believe the good news. Change your mind. Listen to God. He tells you the truth. Your sins have separated you from him. He has come to you to forgive you, to make you his children, to call you his own, to call you by name. The message was consistent. So how in the world does this happen? With this consistent message, with this consistent effort, Jesus healing people, demonstrating beyond the shadow of a doubt that he indeed is the King of Israel. There is nothing that is not subject to him. He rules all things. How does it happen that those who know this so well that they can now all, to a person, mock and scorn and sneer at him as if he's just a bag of wind? There's nothing to him. Lots of promises, but no substance. How can they do that? Why is it that no one, not a single person, thought to say, "You know, he did save others. So why doesn't he save himself?" There must be a reason. What is it? Nobody said that. From the rulers of the people, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the people of Israel, to initially, both men on either side of him. They all mocked him and sneered at him. "You saved others," said, "Well, why don't you get down from the cross and help us? That'd be great." Except one of those men, as we heard, one of those men was listening to all those people who were mocking and sneering and laughing at Jesus, trying to humiliate him. And he heard again the fact, the truth, because they all spoke the truth. The truth was that he had saved others. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit working in his heart, as he has already, thank the Lord, worked in ours, he realized there is a reason. Every single time that Jesus helped and healed and saved someone, he was always saving them from sin. And from the results, the consequences of sin, whether it was blindness or demon possession, illness, death itself, he was always saving people from sin. And his message was the same. A message of saving people from sin. Taking their sins away that they might live forgiven and at peace with God. He realized Jesus isn't going to save himself because he's not done saving others. That's why he's not coming down from the cross. Perhaps he knew, as we know, the scriptures we've already remembered this evening. Beautiful words that we love to hear and take to heart from Isaiah. He could look not even that far away at the cross on which Jesus was hanging. And he could understand that he, on his cross, looking in his eyes, he was taking up his pain and bearing his suffering. You see, he understood, as he told the other man who was crucified with him, he said, you know what? There are two judgment days for us. This is one. We are judged and condemned rightly. We're getting what we deserved. We broke Roman law. We're dying because we broke it. But he knew there was another judgment. There was another death to come, much worse and much more frightening judgment by God. Don't you fear God? He asked. He was afraid. I don't want to meet God with my sins. But now, by the power of God's Spirit, he understood Jesus was carrying his sorrows. He was crushed. He was being crushed for his iniquities. The punishment that was on him was giving him peace. He understood, as we do. We all imagine him looking at all the men, gazing up at him as he hangs crucified and dying. We all, yes, I know, we all like sheep have gone astray, every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He understood that. Just as you do, just as I do. Jesus wasn't about to get down from the cross. He was not about to save himself because he wasn't done saving us. This man, as you and I understand, wanted to hear Jesus say one more time a word of comfort to assure him and strengthen his faith. So he asked him. In faith, he prayed, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now listen. Catch the theme of our thinking this evening. Listen, listen carefully. Listen. Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Did you hear that? Did you hear the key in the lock? Did you hear it click? Did you hear the door swing open? The door to heaven? Listen again. Listen again. Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." The word of Jesus is the key, isn't it? It's the key, the promise of Jesus. The word, the gospel of Jesus our Savior, the promise that your sins are forgiven. The promise that heaven now, because He stayed on the cross to pay for all of our sins, that promise has opened the door to heaven. It's wide open. It's wide open for us. And we see it by faith. And we are so thankful. Today is coming for me. I don't know when that today will come. There's a today coming for each of you as well. And on that day, we'll pray as this believer prayed. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, you are in your kingdom. And you will hear him say, and I will hear him say, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Turn to Jesus. Continue turning to Jesus. The door to heaven is opened. He's unlocked it. I thank the Lord with you. Amen.